Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Once you arrive there, I want you to find the very first verse of that chapter, please. I've already announced the title of the sermon. It's entitled, I Go to Prepare a Place for You. I Go to Prepare a Place for You. John chapter 14. And as we learned in the Sunday school lesson this morning, they stood in the Old Testament at the time of the reading of the Scripture, and so let's do that. Would you stand with me, please? I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray. Father, please, tonight we will look at the truth that you have prepared a place for us. I pray, God, that we will be encouraged by that thought. We know that this world is not our home, and we're just passing through. Help us that our treasures would be laid up there with you, somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, God, make this night a night of reality for someone so that their faith will be strengthened, that they'll be encouraged about this thing of heaven. Bless us now with thy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Here in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it's about his soon coming death. And he told them, he said, I'm going to die, but don't let your heart be troubled. He was saying to them, don't let the things of this earth become overly troubling to you. And then he said, believe. And boy, that's an important word. The Bible says that which is not as of faith is sin. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible makes it clear, very clear, that God has a plan, and he has a place attached to that plan, and that place is called heaven. And Jesus said, believe. He said, believe in me. Believe in Jesus. He said, I want you to believe in this place called heaven. And he goes on to tell them, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, folks, don't get confused about that. He did not say, in my Father's house are many rooms. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And so I don't think when you and I get there, I don't think we're just going to get a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I think he's promoting mansions. And I don't know about you, if I had made arrangements to go somewhere and it had been bragged on and it had been exalted and I was told it was going to be so elaborate and so beautiful and so gorgeous that the world can't even understand it. If I got there and it was a little 4x4 room, I would be pretty upset. If I was sharing a bathroom with 15 other people, and I'd kind of be upset. That's not what God planned, though. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I think heaven is probably under constant construction. It's like the roads here in North Carolina. Always under repair in one way or another. But, you know, that Jesus said this to those men, those disciples that were there at that moment. Well, you understand that you can trace people having the availability of heaven all the way back to the book of Genesis. And you look at Adam and Eve, and there were mansions prepared for everybody through history. Now he's speaking to those disciples, and he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I happen to believe that there are not all sorts of, I'm not sure that they build mansions ahead. You know, you and I, we watch people. They'll go out and buy a plot of land and build a bunch of houses in hopes of selling them to somebody someday. I think in heaven, God has a way of somebody gets saved and they do construction on a mansion. I happen to believe this. I happen to believe this morning an adult lady walked the aisle, got on her knees right there and asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart and save her. She may not realize it, but she now owns the deed, if you will, to a mansion, and construction has started on that mansion. You say, how long does it take? Well, I'll guarantee it doesn't take as long as it takes down here. You say, why? Well, we don't have to get all the permits and deal with the ornery neighbors or anything like that. None of that goes on up there. But these mansions are being built, and we'll be there and together with God's people someday. Those of you that have been around the church for years, and maybe some of you that would consider yourself an older saint of God, one of the favorite songs about heaven is the song that is called The Sweet By and By. The By and By. The words are, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. There's a lot of beautiful, beautiful songs in the Bible about heaven. Tonight, I want to preach a very simple sermon to you called, I Go to Prepare a Place for You. I pastored a man many years ago, and he was just a fantastic guy. He would come to church, and he always had his pockets filled with some very neat candy. And his name was Ray. His last name was Montgomery. And Ray would come to church, and he'd always have a bunch of candy in his pockets, and he'd give the kids candy. I remember, though, Ray started getting sick and started having some issues, and he had to have at one point an operation. As a result of the operation, he ended up with a staph infection. They had a hard time getting it under control, and before long, the infection had spread into his blood, and I'd never seen a man quite affected like this. He was coming in and out of the hospital for months. And the problem with whatever was happening to Ray, and they could never totally put their finger on it, is he itched all over his body. And his skin started to dry up, and he itched. And you would go and see him. He did not mean to do it. He didn't mean to be inappropriate, but he was just scratching himself constantly. He said it's overwhelming. I mean, to the point where his skin had become crusty and it would flake off, and if where he sat when he would get up, it would almost look as if somebody had just powdered the entire chair. But in the end, Ray got sicker and he got sicker, and in his hospital bed, Ray was lying there and he was just scratching and itching, and he said to me, he said, I am so miserable. He said, I am just so miserable. He said, I just can't believe this. He said, this has been going on for months now. He said, I can get no relief. He said, they give me things. He said, I feel myself even in my sleep. He said, I feel my skin crawling, and they could never put their finger on exactly what caused it. And he eventually passed away. He passed away in the hospital, and he passed away with that brittle, chafing skin. Now, I don't know about you, but I can get a little itch, and it can drive you crazy. Just a little thing. His whole body was covered with some. I think it had to do with his blood, but the effect and the irritation came out in his skin. But right before Ray passed away, we were talking. He was weeping. He said, preacher, he said, I just can't stand it anymore. I just cannot stand it. He said, I don't think this pain is going to end. And I said, Ray, the pain will end someday, I promise you. So, Ray, the moment God makes your transfer from earth to heaven, you won't even remember how much it itched. He said, boy, he said, I'll be honest, I wish it were today. And it was. It was on that day God transferred Ray. And I'll tell you this, the pain and the discomfort, all the irritants of life, and the close of the eyes in death were all done away with. And Jesus would have said, I go, Ray, to prepare a place for you. Tell me about it. And I think the first thing Ray wanted to hear was this. Jesus would say, you won't itch. And Ray would have said, sounds like heaven to me. Glory to God, I won't itch. Hey, I don't know what your trouble is. I don't know what your pain is. I don't know what your heartache is. I don't know what your burden is. But whatever it is, he's going to prepare a place for you. And the moment we go there, whatever it is, mine's not an itch, okay? Whatever it is, the moment you get there, that burden, that heartache, that challenge will be over with for you. I go to prepare a place for you. The sermon's simple. Stay with me for a few minutes. I want us to be reminded of the place called heaven. I go to prepare a place for you, and at that point, your faith will become sight. And that's the first point of my sermon. Your faith will become sight. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Folks, heaven is beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our imagination. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 and 9, it says, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Now, you know, listen, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when we get there, our faith will become sight. What we by faith believe in regard to heaven. And by faith, we believe there's this heaven, and we believed it for years. Finally, you'll see that in which you put your faith. You'll see the golden streets. You'll see the gates of pearl. You'll see the angels. You'll see the throne of God. You'll see the trumpet that was used for the rapture announcement. We'll see the river of life. We'll get to see the tree of life. There will be no leaves to rake. It's going to be a great, great thing. The mansions are going to be fantastic. Hey, folks, there's no slums. There's no wrong side of the tracks. Hey, it's going to be beautiful. You remember in the Old Testament the story of Elisha and the chariots of fire? When we get there, the chariots of fire will be there. You'll get to see. You had to make a mental picture of what those chariots looked like when you hear that story. When you get there, I'm sure God's got the chariots right on display. We're going to get there and say, I heard about those. And that's not what I thought that they would look like. They're GM products, of course. But you say, what is that? And it's just going to be fantastic, folks. Heaven is real. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when you get there, your faith will become become sight. You're actually going to see that which was promised through the years. And I think there are going to be a lot. I think there are going to be a lot of saved people going to get to heaven, and this is what's going to happen. They're going to say, it is real. This is real. This did turn out pretty good. Oh, because sometimes our faith wavers. Our faith wavers. It's real. It's going to happen. If you will, look right this way. Number two, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and when we get there, we will meet the heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That great cloud of witnesses, I believe, are those people that are in heaven. And I think we will know, I think we're going to know each other in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I believe that we will recognize one another in heaven, which means this. We're going to meet the heroes of the faith. We've heard the story of Noah. You're going to meet him. You're going to meet him. Those of you that are interested in construction, you go talk to Noah and say, Noah, I'd like to see your blueprint for the ark. He'll say, let me show that to you. You're gonna say, Noah, could you explain to me exactly how you broke the news to your wife? I'm going to ask him, Noah, on the ark, who cleaned up after the elephants? That's always been a question that I've had. How long did you only have two rabbits? That's a question I've always had. Wasn't there even a small leak on the ship? I mean, look, it doesn't matter, a boat that big, but I'm going to ask Noah some questions. It's real. We're going to meet Noah, the real live Noah. Then we're going to meet Jonah. I'm interested in some things. I'm going to ask him, what was it like in the whale's belly? Was it stinky? Was it dark? Was it sticky? What's it like to be whale barf? You know, these are things that you and I would never get to experience, and who could better tell us than somebody that went through it? We're going to meet Daniel, the great Daniel that's in the lion's den. I'm going to ask him, were you afraid? I'm going to ask him, how did you communicate? Was there kitty litter there? There are things that I want to hear about. We're going to meet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're going to hear them say, we remember that. Can you imagine sitting around and listening to the heroes of the faith, being able to retell the stories and tell us exactly how it happened and what happened? And so you all know, what you watch out of Hollywood, that's not true. But what's in the Bible, it is true. It is true. Oh, can you imagine when that wicked king said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you bow or you're going to burn. Well, I would like to hear those guys tell that story. Can you imagine how they got thrown in that fire? And the fire was so hot, the men that threw them in were consumed. And then the three of them were in the fire, and all of a sudden there was a fourth person in the fire. And the soldiers looked in and said, didn't we throw three guys in there? And there's four. Said, and that looks like that's the Son of God in there with them. And I'm sure, you say, what did they do at that point? I'm sure there were some high fives going on in the furnace. Yeah. We're going to meet the heroes of the faith. We're going to meet the Apostle Paul. We're going to ask him. I think there's going to be a unique meeting in heaven. You say, between who? The Apostle Paul and Stephen? If you don't know the story, Paul was standing by watching Stephen get stoned to death. Not like you were last night, stoned. But Paul consented unto the death of Stephen. And then later on, the Apostle Paul gets saved. And can you imagine? Stephen got to heaven first. Paul got to heaven later. I wonder if Stephen were waiting. They say St. Pete takes care of the front gate. I don't think he does. I think my uncle's there doing that. But old St. Pete, they say he takes care of the gate there at heaven. I wonder if Stephen said to Pete, said, look, Paul's coming up. I'd like to meet him at the front gate. Can you imagine? Well, what a reunion, by the way. God saved them. Hey, we're going to meet Paul. We're going to meet Mary and Joseph. What an interesting story. We could ask Mary, what was it like to have the privilege of carrying the Christ child? How did you tell your girlfriends about this? Was it at a slumber party? Did you have tea? It's going to be amazing. We'll meet Peter, part of Jesus' inner circle. He's the one that whacked off the ear of the high priest's servant. And I'm sure he laughs about that to this day. I don't know. I would love to hear Peter's take on Pentecost. Wow, what an amazing thing. Remember, Peter's the one that got to take two or three steps and walked on the water. He's got bragging rights. He's walked on the water more than anybody but Jesus. He's probably walking through heaven, strutting. We say, who's that? That's Peter. His nickname's Water Walker. But they're real. These are the people. And when we get to heaven, folks, we're going to get to see the heroes of the faith. And you know something? You have other heroes of the faith. Some of you have people that you know that influenced you for God, and they've passed on, and they're one of your heroes of the faith. You'll see them. And so, first of all, I go to prepare a place for you, and your faith will become sight. Secondly, I go to prepare a place for you, and you will meet the heroes of the faith. Thirdly, I go to prepare a place for you, and you will see your loved ones again someday. Moses passed away and was buried by God's angels, the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. Moses then appears hundreds of years later on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah to Jesus and the disciples. And the Bible says, and there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Let me explain why I told you that. Because these people to whom Moses appeared knew who Moses was. You will see your family. When we all get to heaven, there won't be a bunch of blank looks on the face and us not being able to tell who is who. The Bible tends to make us believe we will recognize the people that we know. We will meet some that we didn't know personally, but you will see your loved ones again. I'll see. I have three grandmas that I loved very, very much. I'll get to see them again someday. Mrs. Owens and I, when we got married in our first year of marriage, our very first child, we lost that child. Now, let me explain something to you. Those of you that have lost children, it was your loss down here, but your gain in heaven. Your gain in heaven. I knew a lady by the name of Renee. She had lost five children to miscarriage. Do you realize how busy she'll be when she gets to heaven? And though our nation may not recognize it, those were children. Those were children. And they transferred from here to there. God had a reason, but they're there. You that have lost a husband, he'll be there. You'll get to see him someday. If you've lost a wife, she'll be there. You've lost your mother. You've lost your father. They'll be there. You'll see your son, maybe your daughter someday, that special friend, brothers and sisters. Look, we're going to see our loved ones again someday. And here's something that's wonderful about it. It's not only going to be a wonderful reunion, there will never, never be a time again after we get to heaven where we'll have to say goodbye. Never again. It's a terrible thing when you go through the pain of losing someone you love. It's devastating. Well, they're going to only die that once. When we get to heaven, you'll never have to say goodbye again. Not only that, though, number four, I go to prepare a place for you, he said, and when you get there, there will be a certain type of rest made available to you. In Revelation 4:13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord for henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, I don't think that when we get to heaven, we're all going to have lounge chairs and sit around and drink sweet tea 24 hours a day. We'll be busy serving God, but our bodies won't get tired anymore. We won't have pain. We won't have the dark of night that restrains us. And there'll be a rest that's not available in this life. Life, folks, can wear you out. It wears you down. The burdens of life wear you down. Your body, as it grows older, it gets wore out. It gets wore down. The sicknesses and things that come upon us. I was thinking when I came to talk to Preacher Kroom about this work, he said this. He said, I'm tired. He said, now, I'm not quitting, but I'm tired. And you know something, Preacher? Lots of years, a lot of hard work goes into a church like this. Thank you for all those years. And I'll promise you the rest that is deserved when you get to heaven. I imagine you're pretty tired right now attending to a wife that's not well. Well, I promise you, there'll come a day when we get to heaven, the rest that we need. And for some of you, you say, I'm really tired. I'm very tired. You say, what's your status in life? Wore out. That's my status. I'm just wore out. I understand that. There's coming a day when you'll have the rest. We're weary from life's disappointments. You'll get to rest. hey, moms, single moms, boy, it's hard enough raising children when you've got a mom and a dad involved in helping. But boy, when one parent is doing the rearing, that I can't imagine how that would wear someone out. Well, let me promise you something. There's coming a day when you'll rest and you'll get the fulfillment that you need, and you'll never, get this, never be tired again. Now, that'll be hard for some of you because sleep is your favorite thing. You say, I thought this was supposed to be heaven. Sleep is what I love. Oh, you're going to be very pleased because when you get there, you'll not need sleep anymore. You'll not need rest anymore. Then, may I say again, number five, I go to prepare a place for you, and when we get there, we'll get out of this sin-cursed world. I do not think we recognize how much sin holds us back, holds us down, and how it affects us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And what it's talking about, people that don't get saved and get forgiven of those things, they're not going to go to heaven, which means this, when we get to heaven, sin is not going to be there. And the curse that all those things have brought upon mankind and our societies, it won't be there. There'll be no hate in heaven. No abortion, no murder, no pain, not the pain of divorce or rape or incest or drunk driving accidents or war, no abandoned children. There's no orphanages in heaven. There's no growing old. Not at all. There are no nursing homes in heaven. Those of you that are in the medical profession, you'll have to be retrained. You'll have to be retrained in heaven. You say, why? We won't need you. We won't need you. Why? Everybody's going to be perfectly healthy. That's the way it's going to be. Brother Stan is a maintenance man. You'll not be needed in heaven. Nothing breaks there. Well, I don't know. There'll be kids there, so I'm sure that something might get broken. But the truth is, it's all going to be. It's going to be in good shape. You know, no rebellion there. That's not going to be the case. Those things that have made this life miserable, the sin and the results of it, it won't be in heaven. We won't have to deal with that anymore. Number six, I go to prepare a place for you, and you won't sin anymore. This point is so precious to me. It's very personal to me. Paul hated the sins he committed in his body. He puts it this way. Romans 7:24, the Apostle Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, who can deliver me? And then in verse 25, he answers his question. He said, I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. To me, this is the second best part of heaven. I'm going to get to the best in a moment. But the second best part of heaven is when I get there, I won't let God down anymore. I don't want to let God down. I have to admit, I do it. And I do it on a regular basis. I'll promise him I'm going to get something done, and I only get it halfway done. And I promise him there's, you know, I wonder how many times I've said, God, I'm not going to be impatient anymore. And in a matter of a few minutes, I'm impatient with something. I'll promise God I'll give you my all. And then I find myself being lazy, and I'll promise God. And I don't know how many times I've said to God, now, God, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. And boy, short time later, I'm back in the flesh, and I didn't even remember there was a Spirit of God, and I don't know what's wrong with me, but I struggle with those things, and I hate it. I don't know if you're like me, but there's sometimes I get I'm almost embarrassed when I go to God and I say, okay, God, it's me again. I did this again. I did that again. Will you forgive me? I don't like doing that. Now, I keep going back. I'm going to keep going back because he's a forgiving God and he wants me to keep coming back. And claiming the forgiveness of God will keep you strong in the Lord. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to keep on apologizing to God. I feel like God constantly faces the pain that I bring Him because of my misbehavior. And so when I get to heaven, I'm thrilled at this thought. I won't be able to hurt Him anymore. I won't be able to do those wrong things anymore. Hey, think about it. Wouldn't it be great if you couldn't do it? We all do it. I don't know how many times we say, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. And before the week's out, we've already done it. And worse. And then probably we made the promise with sincerity. It was a good day. Bad thing is, the bad day's just around the corner. We try and we try and we try. Well, thank God there's coming a day when we won't be able to sin against God anymore. I look forward to that day. There won't be any temptation in heaven. We won't sing, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. We won't sing that song there. Don't need to. We won't be tempted anymore. The Catholics are going to be totally out of business. No confession or rosary beads needed. You won't struggle. Listen, we go to God and ask God to forgive us, and sometimes people let God convince them they're forgiven, and sometimes not. Now, if you ask God to forgive you, He will. Sometimes people have a hard time forgiving themselves. I think there are people that are very sincere and good people, and they've done some things, and they're having a hard time forgiving themselves because they're very disappointed in themselves. Let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, not only will you not disappoint God anymore, you won't disappoint you. I respect and love my parents very, very much. And I just know there have been so many times in my life, both when I was a boy and now that I'm adult, although my parents wouldn't tell me about it. If I called them today and said, Mom and Dad, I feel like I let you down, they would not admit that I'd let them down. But I know I have. You know, when I get to heaven, I'll never have to wonder again if I let my mama down. I'll never have to wonder again if I let my daddy down. I've got some preachers that have groomed me and trained me. But I know there have been times that I've disappointed them in my behavior. I can't wait to get to heaven. And I won't be able to let my mentors down anymore. I won't let God down. I won't let my mom down or my dad down. I have some of my children here tonight. I've had to apologize to my kids. There are times that I didn't do it right and I didn't say the right thing and I wasn't a good example. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to know that you don't do right in the presence of your children, or you don't handle something right. I wonder how many things I could have given my kids when they were growing up. I didn't have the sense to give it to them. But when I get to heaven, I'll be a good dad. When I get to heaven, I'll be the kind of husband I'm supposed to be. And I think of how I disappoint people as a pastor. Goodness. You ought to try to live all this junk that I preach. It's outrageous. The pressure that gets put on you. And I let you down. I've let people down for years. I just cannot wait till I get to heaven and there will be no more apologies needed. No longer will I have to say, I know I'm inadequate and I let you down and I didn't handle that right. And I'm sorry I didn't have the wisdom to see that coming. I just can't wait, because to me, the second best part of heaven is I won't let Jesus down anymore. Then finally, the last point is my favorite point. I go to prepare a place for you. And when you get there, Jesus said, you'll see me. You will see me. See, Pastor, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't have to. When you get there, it'll make sense to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 and 23. We're going to see Jesus. It's going to be the best part. It says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You say, what's gain? Well, you'll be with Jesus. You'll be with Jesus. And it says in that verse, in verse 23, and to be with Christ, which is far better. The best thing about heaven is Jesus. You say, I'm looking forward to the golden streets. It'd be nothing compared to Jesus Christ. So I'm looking forward to no pain. Your pain will have passed off the scene and you won't even think about that. It won't be the presence of a negative that makes, or the absence of the negative that makes heaven great for you. It's going to be the presence of the positive. And the most positive part of heaven is the fact that Jesus is there, what he's done for us. I've often wondered what it's going to be like when I get to heaven. I don't know what you think. I've pictured people getting to the gate of heaven and stepping in. I'm going to tell you how I think I'm going to react. Matter of fact, I think I've got it planned. When I get to heaven, if they want to give me documents or stamp the back of my hand or something like that, I've got this feeling I'm racing through. You say, where are you going? I'm going to find Jesus. I'm going to find him. If they want to put me through some sort of an orientation, I'm going to say, can't that wait? Well, what are you looking for? I'm looking for Jesus. And I don't think I'll have a hard time finding him, because I happen to believe he's going to be like a magnet and I'm going to be like a piece of steel. I think when I get there, there's going to be an attraction and I'm going to see that glow of his holiness and I'm going to smell that sweet smell of the rose of Sharon. I don't think they'll have to put up a sign. I think you are going to get to heaven and you're going to know right where he is and you're going to want to see him. The one, Brother Edwards, that we've sung about over and over again. JV, where'd you go? Oh, behind the pole. That's a big pole to hide you, boy. JV, the one that you've preached about to teenagers for years, you will see him. Brother Malpas, the missionary and all the work, the one you served and what your family has been through for years, you'll see him, the one for whom you sacrificed. All the giving, all the serving, Brother Steed, that's who you served. That's the one you sacrificed for. All the praying, Brother Nofsinger, and I really believe Brother Nofsinger is a praying man. I think he's a praying man. You'll get to see him someday. The one who left heaven for us. Brother Young, the one in whom you've put your faith. You'll see him. All the souls that have been saved, all of it, because of him. The one that left heaven and came to earth and died for us and was buried for us and resurrected for us, we'll see him. And I wish I could describe his beauty to you. I don't think human tongue can do it justice. When you get to heaven, I think the pearly gates will be great. I think the river of life is going to be wonderful. There's going to be some magnificent things in heaven. But Jesus will outshine them all. And when you get there, you will then understand why this whole book points toward him. You'll say, look at that. He is amazing. Why, this is amazing. And it's all because of Jesus. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is going to be there on more than one occasion, but on one in particular. I said this to a lady that was passing away. Her name was Jeannie. Last name was Zittle. Zittle. She was passing away. She knew she was going to heaven. She knew she was going to pass any moment. And I said to her, I said, Jeannie, will you do me a favor when you get to heaven? She said, sure, preacher. Anything you need. I said, when you get there, will you go see Jesus personally? And would you tell him that I love him? She said, sure, preacher. I'll pass on the message. Folks, when we get there, we shall see Jesus just as he is. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Young people, become serious about what you're doing. Don't talk. It's not talking time. I want you to think about what's just been said. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, why don't you get saved? This heaven is available to you. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know I'm born again. Well, God bless you. That means this. Either you did not raise your hand and you should have, or you're saved. If you're saved, you better thank God for heaven. Your mama's there. Your grandma's there. Your grandpa's there. Some of you, your daddy's there. Some of you have children. Those people are in this real place called heaven. The altar call is simple tonight. Maybe you ought to take a moment and come to this altar and just thank God for heaven. That's one of the reasons why we work hard to get people saved around here. We don't want them to miss this spectacular place called heaven, primarily because we want them to see how beautiful and glorious Jesus is. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe you ought to come and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've promised us. Don't lose your faith. There are some of you, you have lost someone that you love. And they've moved on. They're in heaven now. Oh, don't lose your faith. It's a real place. You will see those saved loved ones again. Some of you have friends that have passed on. Some of you have loved ones that have passed on. Some of you, you know that someone that you love and love dearly, they're gone. You heard me say it earlier. Some of you have children that are in heaven. My wife and I have wondered many, many times about our very first child that we lost, the beginning stages of our marriage. But that child's alive. Always has been. Always has been. In heaven, in glory. I've conducted, I'm sure, well over 200 funeral services. I don't call them funeral services much. I call them homegoing services, graduation services. And I've told people over and over again, when we go to that funeral service, if you will, we're not there to say goodbye to someone. We're there to say, we'll see you later. I'll see you again someday. Hey, be telling people about heaven. It's worth bragging on. Be telling people about Jesus. He's what makes it worth it. Brother Edwards, folks, what's a number? Grab your songbook for a second right before we walk out the door. We're going to sing in the Sweet By and By, number 41. Brother Edwards, let's do a verse with the piano to make sure we're all on key, and then let's do a second verse without it, and then I'll come back and close us in a word of prayer.
Verse 1, here we go. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Verse 2. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. Sing it out. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.